Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace. This is Phil Giuliani with Stephen Garchar, and we're here with our special guest tonight, Paul Wilbur, from Integrity Records in Jacksonville, Florida. And when we left off before the break, Paul, you were talking about how the Lord said that he would send you to the nations. Why don't you say a little bit more about what happened to you after that and what is still happening with you?
Well, at that point, I said, well, Lord, I'll take the nations. And so I had to resign my position there 5 years in a local church in Chicago. We sold our house. We sold our furniture. What didn't sell, we gave away. Mm. We sold our car and headed off to the only place that seemed there was an open door, and that was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I was offered a free office and to teach in a Bible school for a few dollars every month. So I said, well, that's where we'll start. And lo and behold, the phone started ringing. Mm-hmm. And the first phone call I got was from Don Moen at Integrity Music. He said, Paul, I heard that you're available and free to travel now, so I want you to come with me to the Philippines. And so my first phone call took me for 3 weeks to the Philippines with Don Moen. My next phone call took me to Israel to create Shalom Jerusalem. Mm. And from that point on, we've been in more than 70 nations. I think it's closer to 80. Mm. We've recorded in four languages. We're about to add German and Hebrew this coming year. It's just been an amazing ride. Wow. When God says do this, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and do it.
So yes.
Amen.
That's where we've been.
And I'd just like to say that about 3-4 months after I became a believer, there I was, a brand new believer in a Christian book and music store, and I picked up a copy of Shalom Jerusalem, and I was kind of drawn by the cover and the, you know, it's a beautiful design on the cover, and I had never heard of Paul Wilbur, and I didn't know what Messianic Jews were, and I was looking at this CD, and the young girl who was working there said, oh, you need to buy this, because once you hear this, you'll just play it over and over again. So I said, okay. So I bought it and put it in the CD player in my car, and I played it over and over again. And I'm doing that now with Desert Rain, because I've had it for, I don't know, 2 weeks maybe, and I've probably played it 85 times, and the people in my office are saying, are you playing that again?
And I say, really?
And I say, yes.
But you're a fanatic, Phil.
Yes.
You're a real fanatic.
Yeah, when Paul sees me at one of his appearances, he always says, what state am I in?
Yeah, you're an amazing guy. I think you're a great example of someone whose heart has been captivated by the love of God, and this is not a religious thing
right.
for you. It's a love relationship. And it shows in your language, it shows in your practice, it shows in your relationships. And I tell you, I'm proud to call you my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm honored by that.
And Steve, too, by the way.
Thank you, Paul.
Not to leave Steve out.
No.
He's got such a servant heart. It's only the work of God that could produce that kind of thing in the person.
Yeah, amen. And it's interesting, too, that, you know, Steve and I have known each other for a long time, but only the last 4 or 5 years or so have we been doing some work together, and mm-hmm. more recently, a lot more work together. And I like to say that I introduced him to Paul Wilbur music, and now he has learned to play most of the songs on his guitar and keyboard and all those other musical things that you guys know mm-hmm. about. And he drives up and plays it. My home group, and he goes to prayer groups, and he goes to conferences that we do and Bible studies that we do, and he plays Paul Wilbur music.
I think it's great.
I love to play Baruch Haba during Holy Week in the church, because it just says what, like, Palm Sunday in the Catholic Church and Good Friday is all about. You know, the Lord came,
right.
And
Jesus said in Matthew 23, "You'll not see me again until you say, 'Baruch haba, blessed is he who comes.'"
Right.
So
yes.
Right. Made for.
Right.
And I think your music, and I should add, too, for our listeners, that Paul is also an awesome teacher of the scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
And when he starts to teach a lesson, it's just truly amazing. And it has a huge impact. I mean, there's silence in the place because he just has such a huge impact on everyone. And he was, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit puts all these things together, but a big factor in getting me involved in Messianic Judaism, reaching out to Jewish people who are not believers. Suddenly they come through my office and I witness to them. And just before we came here to do this show, there was a young Jewish woman and I gave her, I've been talking to her and I gave her a couple of CDs of some of my teachings and I told her we were coming to talk with Paul Wilbur, and she said she's going to listen to the show tomorrow night. So this is really good. So you've had a huge impact on my relationship with Messianic Judaism, and more recently, the Lord has been putting a lot of things about Israel in my mind, and I don't know where that's going to lead, but it's a very powerful call, and you have been a huge, huge part of that.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. You know, our lives, we live our lives day to day, and we ask God to use them and make them something that pleases Him. Mm-hmm. And I'm delighted to hear that my life has been something that's blessed yours as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about the trip you had to Dubai and Kuwait?
How long is our program?
They're not usual places where you would expect a Messianic Jewish believer to be going.
Really? You know, last Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is my absolute favorite meal.
Mm-hmm.
Roast turkey, mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. the whole thing. But last Thanksgiving, the Lord opened a door in the Middle East, but not where we normally go, which is the land of Israel. But he opened up the door into two Muslim nations in Dubai and Kuwait, and not just, you know, in some little hidden place, but in public stadiums and arenas where 5,000-7,000 people showed up in Muslim nations to hear the praises of God and to declare the Lordship of Jesus. In fact, in Dubai, I led the whole stadium in a salvation prayer. I had 7,000 people praying in Jesus' name.
Wow.
There was a Catholic bishop on the front row in his white garments and his red cap who was dancing the whole time, twirling and dancing.
Wow.
And the sound of the praises in Dubai was so extravagant, we renamed the city of Dubai the City of Praise because it was just so amazing.
Wow.
But because of the Muslim government, my CDs were repackaged and they were wrapped in plain brown paper and sold behind the stadium. It was just, you would have loved it. I mean, it was like contraband or something.
Bootleg, you know, copies of...
Buy these CDs from this Jewish Christian behind the stadium in plain brown wrappers. Oh. So it was too funny.
Oh, man.
So we have more. The Muslim guy came up and hugged me and thanked me. He said, "You know, I'm a Muslim from Lebanon, but after tonight, I have Jesus in my heart." I mean, he was shouting.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, God takes you on such incredible journeys.
That's amen.
It really helps me to rehearse these things and remember why God saved us. And he takes you to garbage dumps in Mexico.
Yes.
And he takes me to stadiums in Muslim countries. Go figure.
Yeah. It's been, if somebody would have told me, I've been a believer for about 15 years, and if somebody would have told me 15 and a half years ago, all the things that were going to happen to me and all the people I was going to meet and the things I was going to do, I would have said, you are crazy.
Right.
I at that time, I didn't even want to go to church on Sunday, let alone do any of this.
Exactly.
But it's, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves, you know, it's, you know, he brings us into the kingdom and then he sends us out to proclaim the word and preach the gospel and bring other people into the kingdom. And, and it happens to all of us. Yours is, you know, more dramatic.
I don't know. I think there's lots of parallels between the Jewish community and the Orthodox Catholic community. I think there's a lot of parallels there that, you know, may not go into tonight, but I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, the religious traditions are very long, very deep. Mm-hmm. The emotions go very deep. The attitude towards the Word of God, worship, the gospel go very deep. And I think there's a lot of parallels between the Orthodox or the religious Jewish community and the Catholic community. So I think your coming to the Lord is just as dramatic in a different way, but very similar as well.
Now you're exactly right, because you know a lot of the traditions that we have in the church, like even when we sing the Holy, that comes from Isaiah when he was in the temple and saw the glory of God revealed.
Right.
You know, and a lot of the traditions that are in the church are really founded in Judaism.
Right.
You know, there's so much that's there. There's such a richness there.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
But, you know, Paul,
God has broken down the middle wall of.
Yeah, amen.
That's fun.
Yes, the one new man.
The one new man.
Ephesians 2.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the one new man, just a bit? And,
sure.
And how you know?
Yeah,
what you see as your minister.
This is a lot about what we are about as a ministry. And I apologize to you and our listeners if I'm breaking up from time to time. I'm on a cell phone. I'm picking up my wife from the airport where she's been sitting on a plane for 8 hours today trying to get out to a prayer conference. But the weather on the East Coast and the Midwest has made it impossible. So in order to do our interview tonight, I'm trying to balance a couple of plates there. So I apologize if there's a little bit of breakup in the cell phone. But
no, you're coming.
Oh, no, it's been good. It's been good.
Modern technology has made it possible for us to chat over all these miles.
And we would like Luann to come to Cleveland on one of these trips as well.
She needs to.
Yes.
Cleveland needs Luann, and she needs Corky and Lenny.
Yes.
Hey, there you go.
And since since I'm Nathan's favorite uncle,
you are.
We need Nathan to come as well.
I think you were, Phil, I think you were the second or third person to know that Nathan was about to be a father.
Yes, yes. Very exciting.
Very, very close to us.
My favorite nephew having a baby. I can't believe it.
Can you imagine that? Amazing. But this whole one new man, you know, concept, I think back to Acts chapter 15. When the great dilemma for the believers, and of course, we know that all the writers of the Bible, Old and New Testament, were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was a rabbi. All the disciples were Jews.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All the first believers in the first century for about the first 30 years were Jews. And so in Acts chapter 15, there was a real dilemma. You're hearing about this Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, who used to be an enemy of the gospel, but now he's preaching the gospel. He's had some experience on his way to Damascus, and he's now a believer in Jesus as the Messiah. Peter has had a vision of this of the sheet that was lowered three times while he was praying on a rooftop, where it appears as though Gentiles are supposed to be, supposed to share the gospel with Gentiles. And these Jewish believers are like, what in the world is going on? Don't you have to? Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's the Jewish Messiah. How can he possibly be for the Gentiles as well? Because up to this point, we weren't supposed to eat with Gentiles. Mm-hmm. We weren't supposed to fellowship with Gentiles. They mm-hmm. they had nothing to do with the covenant of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But through work of the Holy Spirit, he made it obvious to Peter and to Paul that this gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, it's not that God so loved Israel, but the Messiah came through his faithfulness in the covenant to Israel.
Amen.
But Jesus is not only for Israel, he's for the entire world.
Yes.
Amen. And so there in that council of the early disciples, they took into consideration what they had seen and experienced and what the Lord was telling them in prayer. And they said, yes, this gospel needs to go out to the nations as well.
Yes.
And so the middle wall of partition was broken down and the gospel went out to all the nations. What's mm-hmm. happened in the last 2,000 years is that because of God's grace, so many of the nations have received Jesus as the Messiah, and the blindness that happened to Israel in part
yes.
has caused Israel to be blind to the gospel for the salvation of the nations. We have the reverse situation happening. Now churches are saying, how can this gospel be for Jews, and why should they remain Jews, and how could they? Why are there messianic synagogues, and why the Hebrew, and why the music of Paul Wilbur, and yes. all the rest? So we find ourselves in an Acts 15 in reverse, but guys like you that are seeing the signs of the times and understanding the plan of God, that now the first shall be last, that Israel that received the gospel first are receiving the gospel now in these last of
yes.
days,
Amen.
So
yes.
that all the nations will be saved, and
yes.
one day all Israel will be saved.
Amen.
And maybe that's a long explanation, but you're on my favorite subject.
No, that's a great explanation. And I think of that whenever I hear your recording of Baruch Adonai. It's kind of become my theme song for exactly what you're saying. The nations,
well,
you know,
the nations,
praise. You know, the nations were brought to faith to bring the Jews to jealousy. You know, Paul writes in Romans, and mm-hmm. to think that soon the Jews will come to know Yeshua as Messiah. And so when the nations, and of course in the Bible, the word nations always refers to the Gentiles, when the nations are worshiping and Israel's going to, I just picture them yelling, Amen. It's just going to be the fulfillment of the one new man, and they're going to be really excited about the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And
right. we're seeing that happening.
Yes.
Look at all the Stand With Israel nights that
yes.
are happening in the churches
yes.
around the world.
Yes.
And the Israelis that are now coming to be a part, leadership in Israel that's coming to be a part of these Stand With Israel nights, they're hearing the shouts of praise of the nations. And they're saying, Amen.
Yes.
It's happening right before
yeah,
our eyes.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, back when I first became a believer, the Lord put me in the Torah, and I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. I was studying and making notes and reading commentaries and making notes, and I couldn't figure out at first why I was so drawn to this. And later on, I realized that I was putting together studies about the Torah. I have a 33-part teaching on through the Torah that I do in Christian churches and in home groups and so forth. And it's a way of for Christians to understand the roots of Judaism, how God revealed himself to his people, how the sacrificial system started that pointed to Messiah. And, you know, I'm not going to go through all 33 sessions, but, you know, in summary, when you understand that, you really get a blessing, a really good idea and understanding of what Yeshua did as the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, Gentiles included.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Wow, good for you. but you're somebody who's taken a hold of the Word of God, and but you didn't go to Bible school, right? You don't have a doctorate
oh, no.
in theology. I could ask your wife, Joan, and she would affirm that you're not the smartest guy in the world.
No, that's true.
It's just out of a love of God, you took up the Word and started to read. and God opened up all of this truth to you, and it's just amazing.
Okay. Yes, no, I agree. We're going to be coming up on another break here, and we'll be back with you with Paul Wilbur here on The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
We will be right back with The Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.